If you want to go to Galatians, we're going to get into another part six of this endless teaching on healing. But I sure have been getting blessed. I trust you have too. You just stand in awe of all the different things and the different aspects and the different ways that lives, physically, mentally, and spiritually, by some of these things that I've shared. And certainly this is not the end all subject matters concerning healing, that's for sure. But there's a few of them that we've been sharing here, and I've been sharing, and tonight will be interesting. Verse 6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Let him that is taught in the word communicate. And that means to share fully unto him that teacheth in all good things. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap." What a person gives is what they get back. It's an immutable law. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we what?" Boy, that's a big one regarding healing and so on and so forth. Don't get weary in your minds about stuff. Whether it's physical healing or whether it's mental distress or whether it's satanic influences, spirits flying around bothering you. "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap." You're going to benefit if you don't faint. Boy. And look at this next verse. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Don't isolate yourselves. Don't stay at home all by yourself. Not when there's believers to be around. Spend more time with God's people. "Be with and share fully of your hearts with those like-minded believers, who will edify us, who will bless us, who will help us, who will pray with us, who will counsel with us. We need each other. Otherwise, why did God formulate the one body? I'm not good at much of anything. But what I'm good at, I'm going to give. And then I expect everybody else to do what they're good at. And then if everybody's doing what God called them to do, we have what we call the one body working together. We have the mystery alive, where everybody is manifesting fully the Christ in them, which is an awesome, beautiful sight. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men who are the household of believers." And in verse 9, and again it says, "Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season you shall reap if you faint not." Don't faint. Our mind gives out way before our bodies do. That's why it's important to steward our minds with thoughts of God, thoughts of His love, His grace, His mercy, His peace, His word. That's why it's good to memorize scripture and put them through your head day in, day out. So that when we have an opportunity in our health or in our brains, the word is what's there, not the worry, not the doubt, not the fear. "Let us not be weary in well-doing. We shall reap in due season if we don't faint. In every opportunity we have, take it to be with God's people, because they'll bless you, they'll help you, they'll edify you." Sometimes when people are not doing good, they hide. They stick their head in the sand and hide from the very people that could help them. And boy, we don't want to do that. And fellowship with God's people. Gosh, giving is really involved when we have fellowship with God's people, because it means you share fully. The reason people don't trust people and the reason people don't share fully is because people let them down. Okay, so what? You know what? It's not going to stop me from sharing my heart. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. If you receive it, great. If you don't, great. I'll feel bad for a while, but I'm going to keep sharing it, because that's what God says to do. That's what he says to do. You know, when there's a little baby, he starts walking, he falls on his face, he cries for 10 seconds, and he gets himself up and he keeps walking. Yeah. So giving is really, really involved when you have fellowship. Think about giving in light of healing. And that's something I want to share tonight. In light of healing, think about giving, okay? And we'll go to Malachi, which is an incredible record, actually. Every time I think of Malachi, I think of, my gosh, there were approximately 400 years between the writing of Malachi and the writing of Matthew. 400 years? Our country is not 400 years old. 400 years where there's no recorded men of God, women of God, prophets of God. There's no recording of it. So we'll go to Malachi and we'll read chapter 3. We'll start in verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change what? Nah. Well, that's important to remember. God don't never change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinances. So people walking away from God is not a new thing. And they've not kept them. That means they didn't keep the word. They didn't keep what God had told them to keep. They didn't keep God's word. They didn't keep it. They got afraid. They got tempted. They got idols. They got all these other things that still are around today, that try to screw us up from believing God and his word, the ordinances, and have not kept them. Return to bed. Wherein shall we return? That's a good question. Return unto me. There's a word in the word return. What is it? Turn. In the book of Ephesians, we'll go there. Heck, what the heck. We're family. If we're here till for 3 hours, that's fine with me. Where am I going?
Book of Ephesians.
Yeah, I know. Where, though? 6, maybe. Yeah, the whole armor. Yeah. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, or in his mighty power. We'll read this quickly. Put on the whole armor. The methods of the adversary, and he has methods. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, and here's the whole armor, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins, which is the strongest part of our bodies, gird about with truth, which is God's word of righteousness. That's where it protects your heart. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, the shield of believing, wherewith you'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Think of the things that are covered there. Your heart is covered. Your brain is covered. Where life comes from is covered. Your strongest part of your body. Bang away. You're deflecting whatever's coming your way. You see those superhero movies with the shield and all that. But one thing that isn't covered is your back. Because when you turn your back on God, he can't do anything for you. Back to Malachi. Verse 7. Return Face me. Come to me. I'll return to you. Well, you said, when shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. You say, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and what?
Offerings.
Tithes and offerings. I don't talk about this that much, as you know. But I thought in light of healing deterioration, the importance of giving of your money, of your, you know, I don't know. We don't deal with crops now. You know, I'll give you a tenth of my orange growth. You know, it's money today. And here it says, you rob me in tithes and in offerings. You're cursed with a curse. Wow. For you rob me, even this whole nation. Where'd they rob them?
Tithes and offerings.
That's it. You don't have to be afraid to say that. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me. In the New Testament, it says in Romans 12:2, not to be conformed to this world, but to, what's it say? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and word of God. It's basically the same word in Malachi. This prove means put to the test. God's saying, put me to the test. It means to try me. It means to examine me. Boy, they robbed because they didn't tithe. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Put me to test. If I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there isn't even going to be room in my, prove me by tithes and offerings. Put to test that truth. And that's where they robbed him. In this case, I can't tell you, because I don't really get it. I don't understand the greatness of all of it. But I have put this principle to test in my life. It is my life. Pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive it? He'll open the windows of heaven? Pour you out a blessing? Think of that in terms of healing people. I can't remember the last time I talked about this subject in any sort of detail. Haven't needed to, because people are blessed, so they give. But I thought about it in light of healing, how giving is really conducive to healing. Of our abundance, yes. Yes. Of our time and our hearts and sharing fully, yes. And here's the kicker, even. This is amazing. Verse 11. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Well, who's the cause of sickness? Death. The devourer. He comes not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus Christ came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. He's the thief. He's the devourer. He'll rebuke the devourer. This word comes from eating. Eating. It's one who eats and consumes, or one who wastes. How about that as a description for the adversary? One who eats, one who consumes. Think of that in light of our brains, our minds. Who consumes your mind? Right? Think about this in light of healing people. One who wastes. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the... This section is loaded with truth, more than I'm going to share tonight. But you can see very clearly in this one little section how where they robbed him was in their tithes and in their offerings. And he told them to return, turn back to God. How? In their tithes and offerings, and that's in the specific context. And that he would pour them out a blessing that they wouldn't even have room for it. That there could be meat in the storehouse. Gosh. That he won't destroy the fruit of our ground. He said, you robbed me. This is the last great truth before 400 years went by. I'm not coming to any conclusions except that's the last great truth, which is a pretty interesting conclusion if you were to come by that. Giving is one of the greatest ways to grow that I know. It escalates our growth with God. It protects us. It heals us. It makes sure that we prosper. That's an amazing truth. Last thing people want is to give of their plurality. Give out of their pocketbook. Because they need it for a rainy day. Well, hell, it's raining now. I didn't need it all day. So giving is a huge deal. And if you look at it between Matthew and Malachi, that's 400 years. Last thing was said was that. Pretty much. 2 Corinthians is nice. You know, people are always looking for a way out or a way up, a way to get out of a trouble that they're in, a way to get out of a situation they're in. I wonder how many times people consider giving as being one of the greatest ways out. Usually it's waiting for somebody to give to you, somebody to talk to you, somebody to tell you what to do. Well, that's good. We should have people tell us what to do. Well, here in the Word of God, it's very simple. We're told what to do. Ever think about it? God's telling us what to do anytime we want to go to His Word or remember what His Word says. Look at verse 6. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. I've been holding on to this all week. I've been hardly could wait to share this because it illuminated my heart a little bit. I've forgotten about a lot of this stuff that I looked at. Well, I didn't forget it. I didn't ever think of it in light of healing, or if I did, it's been a long time. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Many times when people have the same trouble over and over again, I'll ask them, how's their giving? I'll ask them, do you abundantly share? Why? Why would I ask him such a thing? Well, we'll see. We saw. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Everyone that decides in his heart, so let him give. And by the way, when God wanted something changed from, well, what are the church, what are the administrations? Remember? Yeah. Beginning? Patriarchal? Law. Christ. Whenever God wanted something changed, he addresses it in the New Testament. Nowhere in the New Testament. If you're looking for loopholes, there isn't any. Does it change the truth of giving other than more than even a tithe? It's never changed. So, every man according as he purposeth or decides in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace, what a promise, abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Look at that. All grace, all sufficiency, all things, every. That's a figure of speech. Called polypetuton, or however you pronounce it. It's repetition. Look at this. Look at verse 8 again. All sufficiency. Sufficiency means it's a perfect condition of life. A perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. Wow. It's a condition of life where no aid or support is needed. Don't need it. And it means a contented mind. All sufficiency. A contented mind. All contented mind. Or a perfect condition. We don't need anything. All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Abound means to exceed a measure. So you got a number of measure, it exceeds that number of measure. It goes beyond it. It means over and above. It means to overflow and to superabound or excel. And I'm not talking about a spreadsheet. God is able to make, always having all sufficiency, a perfect condition of life, contented mind in all things, that they may abound to exceed a fixed number of measure, over and above, to overflow, superabound, or to excel. Man, it's just such a tremendous privilege to be able to give of our abundance. To see what God will do for you. And I don't know if this was grace upon grace, but here it talks about that, so I've done it. All grace. I remember being like for 5 months from Mexico to Canada. I was at international headquarters. And I was there for like 2.5 months. And at the end of the time, there was an advanced class on Power for Abundant Living being run there. And Dr. Rose was going to teach it. And earlier that year, I had taken the advanced class test, but I had flunked it. I had flunked it horribly because the night before I took the test, I decided to drink a bottle of tequila, a whole bottle of tequila. In retrospect, really wasn't very smart at all, right? I mean, so it was a 6 or 7 hour test, and I flunked royally. And I don't know how you can do this. So I failed the test. And so the dance class was getting to run, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to take it. So I was planning on going to see my grandma who lived in Ohio. And the night before... what was it, the night? It was the weekend before the advanced class. Cummins asked me to come to his office, and he said, would you like to take the advanced class? I said, yeah, I'd love it. He says, well, you need your money in by Sunday. This was a Friday. And I didn't have hardly enough money to even get back to California left. So I was like, okay. And so that evening, wherever we were at like a fellowship at somebody's house. They had abundant sharing available, and I gave all my money. Now, again, I'm not saying, I think God did this extra special for me, how great this is. So I went to see my grandma the next day. I had a day off. There was no classes. She lived a couple hours away, and I went to see her. And in the mailbox, there was a letter for me from my Auntie Margaret from California. I don't know how she knew I was even going to be there. But in that mail was the exact amount for the class plus an extra $100. And I was like, holy moly moly. How? This is crazy. The advanced class and got really, really blessed. But all sufficiency in all things. And the reason is so we could abound to every good work. God must have known how bad I needed that advanced class. He must have, I don't know what he did, but whatever it was that he did, it really caught my attention of the significance of giving. It doesn't mean if you decide to give all your money tonight, you're going to take the advanced class in 2 days. So I don't think that'll happen. But he wants us to abound, exceed a fixed number of measure, to over and above, to overflow, to superabound and to excel. All of this is so that we can profit, so that we can benefit. And healing is one of the biggest things that we can benefit in, I think. Acts 16. Acts 16. Verse 5, we're looking at this word abound. Of course, this is a great record. Yeah. It says in verse 5, and all the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. See? Increased is abound. The churches abounded. They abounded. They abounded. It says increased. It's the same word for abound. Go to Romans 15. And in Romans 15, verse 13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Joe Armstrong taught on Monday night at the Fellowship Coordinators meeting about the hope again. And I thought about how the hope is a healing thing. Man, no matter how bad we feel, if we can really visualize and think about what's coming, that's really healing to our brains. That's a really healing thing to think about every day, whether we're doing good or not good. Hope. And here it says, that ye may abound in hope, super increase in our believing in the hope that one day Jesus Christ is going to come back for his church and all wrongs will be made right. All the other with it. It'll be a great time. Abound's a great word to look up if you ever have the time. So being with believers can really bless us. And you can really bless believers by being around them. It's a very healing thing to be in the presence of God's people like we are tonight again. Because giving to one another is involved. And when we give to one another, we get it back. I don't understand all there is to understand about it. I just know that when I am giving with my heart, whether it's financially or whether it's in time and effort, I am the most blessed because I am not thinking about my problems. I'm not thinking about me. Too many people are me-oriented, especially young people. All they think about is ourselves for the most part. What I can't do, what's going on, what's wrong, what's this, what's that. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't got anything wrong. You don't have a problem. Have a baby. Or worse, have a husband. And you'll really be in trouble. Yeah. So, or her wife. Nobody laughs at that. So, Proverbs chapter 12. But there's nothing like being around God's people. And it says so in the Word. I mean, we read some of it, but there's so much in the Word about it. Where is Proverbs? There it is. Chapter 12, verse 18. It says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. You know, Diane and I and Tim and Hannah bailed early. They were smarter than we were. We watched the Republican debates last night. You know, it's just, what an embarrassment. It's just embarrassing. It's like the piercings of a sword. I thought of that today when I read this. They're trying to one-up each other. Dang it. Anyway, it's like the piercings of a sword. But it means in contrast to that which was just said, the tongue of the wise is health. Boy, when you're with somebody and all of a sudden just this sparkling voice of wisdom comes out and you're smart enough to hear it, it heals people. It really helps people. It's really, really cool. The lip of truth shall be established forever. I like that too. Look at 13, verse 17. It says, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief. Jeez. Falleth into mischief. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief. But in contrast to the wicked messenger, a faithful ambassador is what?
Health.
Man, isn't that cool? We can be those faithful ambassadors. I know we're ambassadors, but what kind of ambassadors are we? Right? Faithful ambassadors. That brings health. 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 Health here, and in the verse previous and the ones to come, it's a medicine or a cure. It's deliverance. It makes one whole and sound. A faithful ambassador is health. The tongue of the wise brings wholeness, soundness to people. I want to be one of those people. And I want to be around people who are like that as well. So I can benefit. So my health can get better. Look at 16. Proverbs 16. Verse 24. It says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to thy bones. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. Pleasant, it means kind, delightful, graceful, beautiful. Is that describing you? Is that describing me? Pleasant, kind, delightful, graceful, beautiful words are as a honeycomb. It means, you know, honey is like, I know it's sweet, but it also, you know, you can take that honey when you got a little cold, mix it with a little bourbon, put it in the microwave and have you a hot toddy. Honeycomb is sweet to the soul. It's kind of neat. And that's what pleasant words are like. They're like honeycomb. They're health to the bones. I wonder if honey has any contributing factors to healthy bones. Proverbs 24, we're spoiled. We get Randy and Debbie's honey from the, they have believer bees. These bees speak in tongues all the time. They don't really speak in tongues. Verse 6. For by wise counsel shall make thy war. Can you imagine? Now, Bill's been involved in a lot of wars, but I can't imagine. Well, I can because it's in the Word. So I can't imagine. But wouldn't it be great if there was a war, that we had people that were in charge of the war who would pray, who would be able to receive revelation, who would be able to do that. We'd win a lot more wars and we'd lose a lot less people. You know, get in, get a trumpet and a lamp. Who knew, you know? And they won the war. It's awesome. Anyway. What verse am I in?
Six.
For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and the multitude of counsel in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Boy, that's so true. That's why it's so important to be and make yourself available to believers who you know stand on God's rightly divided word and who will give you God's word. Boy, because there's safety. And that it says, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And safety means salvation, which means wholeness. There's wholeness. It means deliverance. It means help. It means victory. In the multitude of 20. See all these great things, boy. And these things here are dealing with people. Great people. People who believe God and believe his word. 27, verse 17. So iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Yeah. It makes his countenance nice. Darn healing. Go to Acts 2. Every time I ask her if she could type something up, she types it up like within the hour. No matter what she's doing, she's amazing. Verse 41. And this, you know, we'll just read this over. The importance of believers, you know, this is kind of like, I always call this like the template of how the first century church operated and how it would be good for us to operate the same way. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were about 3,000 souls. So that's like about 6,000 people. I'm just kidding. 6,000 feet. Apostles, they did. They didn't change the word. They didn't add a word. They didn't omit a word. They stayed faithful in the right believing of the apostles. And in what?
Fellowship.
And in breaking of bread. And in what?
Prayers.
And fear came, or respect came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Do you think giving and receiving is involved in these first few chapters, first few verses?
Yes.
It's pretty dang obvious to me. And they parted them to every man as had need, to all as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord, they were like-minded in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with the people, with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This little section starts with about 3,000 souls. And then it has the word they. They. Who would that be referring to? What's the closest thing? The believers. Exactly. And verse 43. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs. And all that believed. That's those guys. They were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and good and parted all men. Every man has had need. And they, there again, the believers, continuing daily with one accord. It's a they thing. It's not a me thing. It's not available to walk on your own if you got other people to walk with. The only thing that would stop you from doing that is fear and common sense. That was good. So, it's healing to be with believers. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. I have a Jones for you. I need you very much in my life. I need all of it, though. And you need all of what I got. We need each other. Chapter 12. And this, again, is such a great section. I think we'll take the time. Maybe not. Well, yeah, what the heck. I only have like 12 more teachings on healing. Just kidding. For as the body is one and hath many members, verse 12, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. And then, you know, it's like the human body being compared to the body of Christ. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, it'd be a weird body. Where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, how could you smell? But now God hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it's pleased him. Be happy where you're placed in the body. And if you don't know, do everything and you'll figure it out. You'll be good at something, really good at something, really, really good at something. And then keep doing it. Yeah. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now, are they many members yet one body? I can't say the hand, I got no need of you. No, the head to the feet, I got no need of you. Get out of here. Nay, much more of those members of the body which seem to be the more feeble are necessary or needed, or you can't do without them. And those members of the body which we think to be honor and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given the more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Why? So that there wouldn't be any division. There wouldn't be any schism in the body. Dang it, that's all we've seen in our lives. Division, 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 division. I'm right, you're wrong, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm good at this, you suck. No, well, I can't do without you, man. I need every believer. And you, every believer needs me. We all need each other. And if we have that same care one to another, see, but the members should have the same care one to another. What a beautiful, beautiful body this is. And spirit's thicker than flesh. Spirit's thicker than blood. That was never hard for me to realize. But it's hard for some of these people on the East Coast who have such closely knit family, which I had. But spirit's still thicker than blood. If you wouldn't do something because you have family ties, then you're an idiot. I mean that with all due respect. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with. One member be honored, all the members be honored with it. But the real thing that I wanted you to see is that there should be no schism. That we're one body together. Help each other. Pray for each other. Edify each other. Have the same care. And that word care is the word merimenao, which can mean overly concerned, but it means concern or involvement. The same care. Do we really care? You know how it shows up in our lives? Do we really care about each other? It'll show up by you caring or not caring. Then you'll know if you care or you don't. Caring is not always convenient. It always doesn't fit into your tight schedules, especially young people who've got tight schedules. You're so busy and you have so many things to do. That's all sarcastic, by the way. There's our concern or involvement for each other. Or is our care and concern and involvement all for ourselves? Selfishness is sin. And an island is a lonely place to be when all you're thinking about is yourself. I this, I that. Or an opera. Matthew 18. It's all about healing. Check your giving. And check how much you fellowship with each other. And, you know, I know I mentioned that in the very first teaching that I did in this series was about the importance of being with one another. And I just wanted to reemphasize it and read some other verses on it in Proverbs and so on. Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20. It says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Verse 19 again, "If two of you shall agree," and that word agree is harmonize or symphonize. If you have a group of, I always think of classical music, symphonies, and you hear this beautiful sound coming, it's very difficult to distinguish the oboe from the flute or anything else because they're all blended together. Same it is when you have a beautiful choir and everyone is harmonizing and just, it's one beautiful voice. And that's what it's supposed to be like with us, that we symphonize on things concerning our lives when we pray. I love it, man. Diane talked about Taylor and Allie. You know, we've been praying for them, me and Diane. You realize, I just thought of that when you were praying again tonight. They sold their house really before it was even on the market. They were going to sold it for the first person that came to their door who were Christian for full price. And then they went to Charlotte on Monday and they secured a house yesterday to buy. Doesn't happen. It happened. There was a lot of symphonizing going on there. It's cool. Just think of that. Man, it's pretty cool. It's Proverbs chapter 3. I just think of what God has in store for them spiritually. I could care less about the rest of it. But it's kind of cool that it happened that fast. That's fast. Proverbs 3. Verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And that word keep is to preserve, to watch out for, to guard, to hide. Let your heart keep. God's word. You'll know if you're keeping it if when things come up, that's what you go to right away in your mind. Look at this. "For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee." What shall add to thee? Think. Read. What's going to add? Would you look in the book? What's it say?
My commandments.
If you keep those things, length of days, long life, and peace. God, don't we need peace? Well, keep God's word. There's nothing that's contrary to that in the New Testament. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bound them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways." All of them. Acknowledge him. We don't acknowledge God as a person with hands and feet and head. We acknowledge God by his word. That's how we know God. That's how we learn about God. That's how we get to understand God. He has no form or comeliness. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding." You realize how stupid. Some of you ought to realize that more. We don't know much, man. We know him who knows it. He's smart. If you want to be smart, get into his word. That'll help you be wise. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Get out of your own way. Stop thinking so much. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In every way, acknowledge him, and he's going to direct our paths. That should be the greatest goal of any human being that's ever lived and ever will live. To be able to walk with God, for him to direct our steps, like he did with Taylor and Allie. Diane and I have known for years that they should move, or probably. But once he made up his mind, it was God's will. That was it. Bam, bam, bam. Things. What a great for us to make up our minds and not to lean to our own understanding. But in every way, acknowledge God, and he'll direct our paths. Man, be not wise in thine own eyes. Woo! I wrote down, stop trying to figure everything out. That can get really complicated. Truth is simple. Don't be wise in your own eyes, Jerry. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's how you depart from evil. That's how you stop the stupid stuff that you hate about yourself. By fearing God, getting into the Word. And by doing that, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The way a baby is nourished is through his navel or through the umbilical cord. Say, it's God's word. Trust in the Lord with thy heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Fear him. Respect him. Acknowledge him. Man. It'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Proverbs verse 9, rather. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Whoa! Giving. Who knew? And with the first fruits of all thine increase, giving of your life, giving of your plurality, will contribute so greatly to our health. There can be no doubt in our minds, if they're sober, that it's God's will for us to be healed physically, mentally, and spiritually. There's no doubt about that. I think all of us agree on that. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to do to see that come to pass? Well, we've covered a lot of things that will contribute to those things. 3 John verse 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, and be in health. Even as your soul prospereth. Even as we take a breath, God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to prosper, which means have everything you need. Man, oh man, that's a tremendous truth above all things. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. It's all been paid for by Jesus Christ on the tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. In Isaiah, I think it says, by his stripes you are healed. Here it's past tense. It's already been done because of what Jesus Christ endured on the cross. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll close here. I sure love you. Sure thankful for your lives. You know, these fellowships help me as much as they do you. Verse 14 says, Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. What a great verse. heal me, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. So, a couple things I wanted to share tonight was, again, emphasizing how important it is to be around like-minded believers who will pray with you, who will help you, and who you can help, who you can share fully with, that you just give to other believers, you pray with, minister to, see things come to pass, check things off the prayer list. And the other thing I wanted to share is the importance of giving, of our plurality. We live in a very selfish world where it's never enough. You can't make enough. You can't take enough. You get all this money in the bank and you're still afraid to move. You're afraid to live your life. You want to save more. Well, you know what? You're going to be dead. And then the money's going to still be in the bank. Spend it where you got it. Don't give it to your kids. And don't freak out. If God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, what the Jesse James do we have to be worried about? Nothing. God is God, and we are not. So, in 2 weeks, we're not going to have fellowship next week. In 2 weeks, we'll have the final, at least I'm saying that now, the final sharing on healing. I've just been so blessed being on this subject. It's been a blessing. So, Father, thank you so much for the privilege of life, for the wisdom that comes in your word. Holy moly, Father, we're so grateful for that. It's so simple. Your word is simple. And we ask you, Father, for our minds to become more and more simple, in that we just trust you and your word, and that you'll do what you say you'll do, which you do all the time. Pray for a great night's sleep for everybody, and for a wonderful week coming up. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.